Here First is sponsored by UCS Healthcare, proudly delivering healthcare services across Iowa, specializing in mental health, substance use disorder treatment, and medical care with a special focus on LGBTQIA+ healthcare. More at ucsonline.org.
Today is Friday. It's the 19th of April. This is Here First from IPR News. I'm Grant Gerlach. The Iowa legislature is planning to continue debate today as lawmakers are on track to close out the 2024 legislative session this weekend. Last night and into the early morning, state lawmakers debated funding for education, health care, the court system, and more. Republicans are expected to pass income tax cuts today and approve more sections of the state budget. The House and Senate have also disagreed on a bill that would change driving privileges for minors, triggering a rarely used conference committee to try to reach an agreement. Iowa's personal income tax would fall to a single rate of 3.8% next year under a bill proposed by state Republican leaders. IPR's Katarina Sestark reports.
The current top income tax rate is 5.7%, and it's supposed to drop to 3.9% in 2026. The new plan would move Iowa to a flat 3.8% in 2025. Republican Senator Dan Dawson of Council Bluffs says the budget surplus and the taxpayer relief fund would pay for the cuts.
We are accelerating the promised tax cuts, taking it lower, and returning an extra $1 billion back to Iowans that would not have had otherwise.
He says there'd still be enough money left to try to get rid of the income tax in the future. Mike Owen with Common Good Iowa says the state shouldn't use one-time money for ongoing cuts, and that lawmakers should instead focus on tax policies to help lower-income Iowans. Governor Kim Reynolds says the bill is a common-sense compromise that'll benefit every Iowan who pays income tax.
The Iowa legislature recently passed a bill that gives qualified immunity to teachers with permits to carry guns in school. Now the Iowa Senate has approved a grant program to help districts cover the costs of arming those employees. The measure is part of a larger school security bill. It does not allocate money for the grants, but lays out a program that would help fund training as well as equipment purchases. Democratic Senator Cindy Winkler of Davenport says she supports other parts of the bill that help districts install panic alert systems or video software that can detect firearms.
But we can't support a bill that facilitates putting more guns in school.
Senator Dan Zumbaugh, a Republican from Ryan, says lawmakers should give districts all the tools they could need to prevent or respond to school shootings. The bill is headed back to the House to consider changes made in the Senate. A man from Fort Dodge is hoping the Iowa House passes a bill today to ensure he gets the entire payment he's due from a legal settlement. Joe Gargano is one of dozens of Iowa men who have alleged they were abused as children by Boy Scout leaders. There's a national fund to pay thousands of victims, but Iowa has a time limit on suing perpetrators of childhood sexual abuse. An attorney familiar with the process says if a law is not passed today to waive that deadline, Gargano and up to 350 other Iowans will get a fraction of what they're owed.
It devastated my life into a world of self-medication for years and years. I've been sober 20 years now, and in grace of God, you know, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm fighting right now.
The Iowa Senate passed a bill that would allow Boy Scouts in Iowa owed settlements to get their entire payment. The bill had stalled in the House, but it is scheduled for review in a House committee this morning. And the unemployment rate in Iowa remained steady in March, decreasing slightly from 3 to 2.9%. Employers added 4,400 jobs across the state last month, led by professional and business services. Iowa Workforce Development Executive Director Beth Townsend noted that job growth over the last 2 months is a positive sign, with some expected losses on the horizon. There was also a slight decrease in the labor participation rate in Iowa last month, but it remains higher than the national rate. This is Here First.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Over the last two decades, the number of newspapers in the U.S. has dropped by nearly a third. Today, more than 200 counties have no newspaper at all, making them news deserts. Rural areas have been especially affected, but as Harvest Public Media's Jim Meadows reports, newspapers are experimenting with different strategies in an effort to keep local news alive.
Mount Vernon, Iowa has the quintessential Midwestern downtown, with a cafe, a bank, and a local newspaper. The office of the Mount Vernon Lisbon Sun faces First Street, the word newspaper written in fancy white letters on the front window. Inside the newspaper office, it's another busy day for editor Nathan Countryman.
Finishing up calendar, finishing up the special section. So I've got two stragglers I've got to track down, which is always fun.
The paper serves two small towns in eastern Iowa, surrounded by farmland. Last February, Countryman learned that his paper was being sold. In an unusual move, the University of Iowa student newspaper, the Daily Iowan, a private nonprofit company, bought the Sun and another rural weekly. The new owners are keeping the staff and providing some student reporters to help out, which is good news for Countryman.
It's a lot more breathing room in those regards. It's an ability to have a Monday where I can say, I just need somebody else to cover the city council meeting.
The Daily Iowan's experiment comes as many newspapers are shrinking, merging, or closing. The local news initiative at Northwestern University has data going back to 2005. Director Tim Franklin says the decline has hit hardest in rural areas in the South, Southeast, and Midwest.
You can almost draw a straight line from the Texas-Mexico border, from, say, Brownsville, Texas, up through the spot, what I call the spine of the country. And with some exceptions, almost all the counties are either news deserts or one news outlet counties.
Franklin says declining readership and ad revenue have hurt newspapers everywhere, but it's harder for papers to stay afloat where fewer people live.
In rural areas, the problem is one of scale. Are there enough paying customers in a smaller rural community to be able to support journalism in that area?
In Ford County, Illinois, population 13,500, the weekly Ford County Chronicle is run on a for-profit basis, although no one's getting rich.
It's hard, but every job's hard, right?
That's Will Brumlevy, editor, reporter, and co-publisher of the Chronicle, a rare example today of a new newspaper replacing an old one. He and another former employee of a much older local paper started the Chronicle in 2020. Brumlevy says it's a financial risk, but they're devoted to the community.
There's not that many jobs that like make you feel better about the difference you can make in other people's lives and just try to keep people informed of things they need to know. You know, it's important.
Another publisher is trying to fill a news desert in rural West Texas. John Starkey runs a nonprofit media organization in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Last year, he bought the Ozona Stockman in Crockett County, 300 miles away. He plans to expand the paper to cover seven rural counties, some of which have no news outlets at all.
They have spotty internet, they have spotty radio reception, and they have restricted TV because of the geographic parameters of the area. So if they don't have a newspaper, they don't have news. It's that simple.
New business models for newspapers like the Stockman are key as ad revenues slide. That's according to Benji Hamm. He's director of the University of Kentucky's Institute for Rural Journalism and Community Issues. But he doesn't expect things to change overnight.
There will be more newspapers that go out of business. There will be more online sites that determine they can't make a profit. But I think there will continue to be things that emerge to replace that.
And journalists dedicated to local news. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Jim Meadows.
IPR Zachary Oren Smith contributed to this story. It comes to us from Harvest Public Media, a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including IPR News, covering agriculture, food systems, and rural issues. Subscribe to this podcast to keep up on the latest from IPR News. And there's news and music anytime at IPR.org. This is Here First. I'm Grant Gerlach. Enjoy your weekend.